Pastor Rick, he's absolutely right. Used to be churches when I was growing up, they was at odds with each other. Competition. I guess competition is the word that's, you know, our church is bigger, our church is better. We have a newer this, we have a newer that. And it used to be like that all the time. But I tell you what, and I believe Pastor Rick is the one who's the catalyst for this that came. Your pastor is the catalyst that brought all the pastors together, and then we just loving on each other. I remember the first time we went to pray with each other, I kept thinking, all right, I'll go do my priestly duties and I'll hang out with these guys, you know. I actually have found a love for you guys. I have found a love for not only him, but all the other pastors as well. And there's prayer and there's power in prayer. You probably told him about the prayer about the drug bust that happened. Yes, hallelujah. I couldn't wait to come to church and hold up that newspaper and say, look what the power of prayer does. And God is using the people, not just the pastors. That's just the beginning. And there's just going to be this huge flood. The floodgate. Amen. I tell you what, you guys just listening to you and the words that were given, you guys are prime for fire. Okay. Just prime for fire, for the word of God just to fall down, just fire just to come. So, well, I want to open up today with a prayer, and then I just also want to open up with something very theologically profound, okay? Lord God, I thank you so much that you use any and everybody. And Lord, we surrender our lives to you today. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you not only for this place, but Lord, thank you for your presence in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you use the words to touch people's lives. And Lord, I thank you that you can use a donkey. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now for that profound theological thing. There were three blondes. And these three blondes died. And they went to heaven. And as they were there at the heaven, here comes Peter. Comes up to the gate and he says, well, welcome. There's certain rules here, okay? You'll notice that there's ducks everywhere, okay? Do not step on the ducks, all right? Do not step on ducks. You guys understand that? And the three girls go, yes, we understand. And so they're in heaven. They're walking around. They're rejoicing. They said, look at this beautiful place. They were in awe. And all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, the first blonde steps on the duck. Well, here comes St. Peter walking up with this guy. And he handcuffs this guy to her, and he is the ugliest guy you have ever seen, okay? And she goes, oh, oh. And so she's for eternity with this ugly guy. So the other two blondes, they go, wow, watch out for the ducks. Then here we go. They go for 2 days. No one steps on a duck. And all of a sudden, the second blonde steps on a duck. Here comes St. Peter with another very hideous guy and straps him to her. And now she's walking around with him. And so the third woman, she's like, oh my goodness, she's in awe. I mean, she's scared. Where do I walk? Where do I step? And so she went for an entire month not stepping on a duck. And all of a sudden, here comes Peter. He brings this good-looking guy and handcuffs this good-looking guy to her. And she goes, oh, wow, I can't believe this. This is awesome. I don't know what I did to deserve this. He goes, well, I don't know what you did, but I stepped on a duck. So anyway... Someone at church told me that. I said, man, I gotta use that one. I do want to talk about heaven. As a matter of fact, the words that were given today, both words, that God wants us to go out and reach the world, and that God also wants to do a revival, you know, dry bones come alive, amen. That just goes right along with what I want to talk about. So I know that God wants to do something here, and that's why I believe you guys are really primed for revival here. God's going to use you in a mighty way. It's in a roundabout way. But first of all, I just want to talk about heaven. We have a lot of views of heaven. A lot of Christians have a lot of wrong views of heaven. And I just want to kind of talk a little bit about that. I entitled today's sermon, Judgment Day. And when you hear the word Judgment Day, we get kind of nervous. We think of judgment. You know, something bad's going to happen. Someone's going to judge me very harshly. But Judgment Day is also a good day as well. And I want to kind of talk about that. I want to give you four scriptures really quickly. And they should be up on the screen behind me. And we just kind of establish the fact that there is going to be a judgment day. Ready? 2 Peter 2:9, excuse me, says this. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. There's a day of judgment. Second verse, 2 Peter 3:7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition, which means eternal judgment, of the ungodly men. The third verse is this in Matthew. It says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment." And finally, the fourth verse is this. "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the," say it with me, "judgment." Yes, there is judgment day. Is there a judgment day? Absolutely. Will everyone be judged? Yes, they will. The just and the unjust. The saved, they will be judged. And the unsaved, they're going to be judged. Now, what are they going to be judged on? The Bible's going to, I'm going to talk to you about that. But they're going to be judged upon the works that they do. Now, let me get something out of the way before some of you are going to say, "Oh, he's preaching blasphemy." Are we saved by our works, church? No, we're not. Hallelujah. We're saved by God's grace. We're saved by God's love and mercy. But our works will be judged. Everyone's judged. Works will be judged. Let me give you some scriptures for that. We're going to go through five of these real quickly. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this. "For God will bring every," say every. Every work. Work is the things that you do. Things that you say. The things that you think. What you do to help people. What you do in this body here on earth today. "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Second verse is this in Revelations 20:13. Says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works." Third verse is this, 1 Peter 1:17. "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves, therefore, at the time of your stay here in fear." So we're noticing something. Each one, everyone. These are people. Matthew 16:27 says this. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." And the fifth one is this. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works." Church, I'm an each. You are an each. We are everyone. God's going to judge us for our works. God's going to judge us for the things that we do. Even the secret things. The things that go on in here that no one else knows about. The things that go on in our hearts. He's going to judge what we do. And everything that we do here on earth, today, tomorrow, the moment you leave this place, those are things that God's going to look at as our works. So again, are we saved by works? Absolutely not. I want to give you the scripture in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says this. "For it is by grace." And by the way, grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited. How many of you guys have ever been pulled over by the police officer for speeding? Wow, look at this place. I feel at home. No. Actually, I haven't had a speeding ticket in so long, but Lord, please don't let that stop now. But you know what? If you've ever been pulled over by a police officer and all of a sudden you realize, "I'm guilty," and he comes up to your window, asks for your license, registration, you give it to him, and he says, "Do you know how fast you're going?" "Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry." And he says, "Okay, I'm going to write you up, but I'm only going to give you a warning." Did you deserve that? Absolutely not. You deserve much worse. Some of you probably deserve locked up, but you didn't, you know. But he didn't give you what you deserved. He gave you favor. It's unmerited, undeserved. That's how we receive salvation. "For it is by grace, unmerited favor, that you've been saved through faith, that you trust God. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." And say this with me, "not by works, so that no one may boast." Yes, there's a judgment day coming. And the judgment day is for the believer and for the non-believer. And in this, our works are going to be judged. Our works are going to be judged. So how do we explain this? How do we explain saved by grace and where we are judged by works? I want to give you two words in doing that. It's called belief and behavior. See, our belief determines where we will spend eternity. "I believe in you, God. I believe that you're my Lord and Savior." Or you could say, "I don't believe in God." See, our beliefs determine where we will spend eternity. But our behavior determines how we spend eternity. See, your works, when they're judged, it determines if you're saved. And your works are judged, it determines how you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven and here on earth. But if you're unsaved, which your works determines how you spend it in hell as well. It's kind of a different teaching. Let me just give you some scriptures for that. But belief and behavior. And there are two judgments. And the two judgments I want to talk to you about is called the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne of God. And lots of times Christians, when they hear that judgment seat of Christ, they think something bad. But it's actually something good. How many of you guys have ever heard the word Bema seat of God? Yeah, Bema seat of God. What Bema, we think that's where our works are going to be judged as Christians. And the Bema is not something where your sins are judged. No. Your works, what you do. And if something that you've done good, you're rewarded for it. But in hell, their works will be judged as well. And that determines how they spend eternity there as well. So what I'm trying to say is this. It matters how we live. It matters how we as Christians live. It matters very much. It matters what we do here on earth. It matters what we do at home. It matters what we think and say at work. It matters what goes on in our private life and in our own entertainment. It matters, it matters, it matters. And not only that, it matters for all eternity. Not just for a little bit, but for all eternity. So what I'd like to do today, I want to bring up, can I borrow two chairs?
Yes.
I want to bring up two chairs and I want to talk about these two judgments really quickly. And in doing so, they're going to represent the judgments that we have, okay? And also, in case I get tired, I'm going to sit down. Okay, here we go. All right, the first one I want to talk about is the judgment seat of Christ, something good. That's what we're going to look at this and think. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where believers stand before God. And God's going to say, let's look at your works, amen? You're saved because I loved you. You're saved because you put your faith in me. Your sins are not judged anymore because they've already been judged on Calvary, on the cross of Jesus Christ. He took our judgment. He took our punishment. But this here is for our works. Hallelujah. So this, well, I'm going to read to you some scriptures that are written to believers. I'm going to go through them rather quickly as well. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what is done, whether it's good or whether it's bad what you've done. Romans 14:10 says this, but why do you judge your brother? This is Jesus talking. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every believer, every Christian. And then 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15 says this, according to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise master builder. This is Paul talking. Paul's talking. He says, according to the grace God has given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another, he builds on that foundation. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So how we build on this foundation that Jesus gave us. You know, we're saved. How do we build on that? We got to take heed. Verse 11, it says this, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Once we've been saved, which is our belief, everything that we do after that, our behavior is building on this salvation. Everything we do, everything we say, is sending up building material to heaven. Amen. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. We're going to receive a reward for our works. In verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he's going to suffer loss. In other words, you're going to lose a reward. There's rewards to gain in heaven, and there's rewards to lose in heaven as well. And it all happens right now as we're living, as we're breathing, as we're walking on this planet. But he himself will be saved. You're going to be saved, but yet so is through the fire. Notice a couple things. Believers, they can build with wood, hay, or straw, or they can build with gold, silver, and precious stones. We get to determine what we build upon, what we do, of the things that we say and our works. That determines what type of work we have. And when our works, when it goes through the fire, wood, hay, and stubble, they burn right up. You lose that reward. See, sometimes the things that we do here on earth are for the right reasons, and we're doing the right thing. And those are good. Sometimes the things that we do as believers, they're for the wrong motives. They're the wrong things. We're living for the world. We're living for ourselves. Man, that's terrible material to build eternity on. Amen? God's going to reward the things that we do for His kingdom. And God's not going to reward us for the things that we do for our kingdom. That's what that is saying. We're saved. Amen? We're standing before the judgment seat of Jesus. But at that time, the things that we do here on earth determines the rewards that we receive in heaven. See, a lot of people, when they think heaven, they think big fluffy clouds. Everyone gets a harp, you know, and everyone gets to just sit around and just saying, how you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. How are you? I'm good. Hey, is that my mother-in-law? No way. Oh, it's good. It's good to be here. Hallelujah. And that's all they're going to do. Watch out for the ducks. Yes, that's right. Oh, man. But heaven's not like that. There's rewards. Hallelujah. There's something to do. There's responsibilities as well. Matter of fact, I want to kind of continue reading on with that as well. Here's what Jesus said about the rewards in Matthew 6, 1 through 5. Take heed that you do your charitable deeds before men, not to be seen by them. Otherwise, say this with me, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You lose the reward. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading here. And in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will, I love this, himself reward you openly. Listen, you could be a Christian, and you could do good things, but you could do them for the wrong motives. Lord, I look what I've done to these people. I've given them some money. I helped them out. I blessed them and this and that. But they let everyone know about it. How many of you guys have ever seen people? Matter of fact, the Bible warns about this. Whenever they're fasting, they want everyone to know they're fasting. They walk around like this. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm just fasting. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. Oh, man, look at that person. Man, they really are holy. They really are spiritual. Look how they're fasting. Yes, that's me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All glory be to Him. And they go on. What does the Bible say about fasting? The Bible says, wash your face, comb your hair, get up, and don't let anyone know that you're doing it. Do the things for God in private. Don't let them know. Because the moment someone pats you on the back for it, that's your reward. Yuck. I'd rather have gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. I'd rather have the things that God has waiting for me in heaven. The wonderful rewards. But when we do things for the wrong motives, we do not have, when we just live our lives for ourselves, we don't have those things as well. So Jesus says, look, do it for the right motives, because your works matter, what you do here on earth. And now I want you to notice that at the end of that verse, I think it's still up there. And the Father who sees in secret will himself reward you. Check this out. It's not when you get to heaven, all of a sudden God stands up there at this big stadium and there's billions of people out there. He says, all right, everyone, congratulations, you made it. Receive your rewards. Good night, everybody. See you later. He doesn't do that. The Bible says that God himself, he comes up to you in a personal way. And he gives you a reward. Church, the very precious God comes to you and he gives you a reward. And he looks into your eyes and he looks into your face and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's a great thing. Amen. We don't want to lose that. I mean, we got a great God. He's not just a God who just throws it out there. He is a great, loving, powerful God, and he has a personal relationship with one of us. When we get to heaven, it's not just going to be we're all by ourselves. It's God's just saying, I want to meet with you. I love you. Let's talk. Let's converse. I have something special for you, and here's your reward, handed by God himself. That is awesome. That is awesome. That's worth saying, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well done. 1 John 2:28 says this, and now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as his coming. See, there are going to be so many people that make it to heaven, and a lot of people, that's just their goal. I made it. Hallelujah, I made it. Woo! I escaped the fires. Thank you, Lord. And when they get up there, there's going to be a little bit of shame. Wow, why didn't I do anything for the kingdom of God? Why did I just go to church and sit and that was it? Why didn't I love? Why didn't I give? Why didn't I serve? Why wasn't I generous? Why didn't I talk about Jesus? Why did I just stay quiet and just make it to heaven? Because there's rewards in heaven. Rewards in heaven. Amen? There's also authority. I want to read you a scripture here in Matthew 6:19. I don't think it's up there, so if it is, great. It says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So everything we do should be about, you know, I want to send it on forward. First of all, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, your motives are different. You want to do anything and everything for Him. Hallelujah. And if you haven't got that love, you can ask for it. Say, "Jesus, will you please give me a heart for you? Will you give me a love for you?" That is Terry Baldwin's testimony. I grew up in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, morning and night. You probably have heard every old pastor say that, right? But the thing is, that is true. I went to every youth group. I went to all these things, but I was not in love with God. And finally, one day, it just dawned on me, you know what? I don't know. It was the Holy Spirit just said, "You don't love me." And I said, "God, I don't love you." And this was my prayer. I said, "Lord God, forgive me for my sins, but will you give me a love for you? Because right now I don't love you. I believe there's a God and I believe there's a heaven and I don't want to go to hell. I want to be where you are, but I got to be honest with you. I don't love you and you know that, so why pretend? You got to give me a love so I can love you back." A month later, within a month, my sister gave me, she was at Bible college. She brought up these videos of this missionary overseas, and this was a man on fire. And when I saw that, I go, "Wow, this is for real. I know a fake when I see a fake because I am a fake." And when I saw that man talking about God and love with God and everything out of him just exuded, wanted to be with God, I thought, "I want that." And I prayed. Excuse me. It still makes me cry. Okay, anyway. After watching all these videos, I remember turning it off, rolling over on my side and say, "God, I surrender." It was at that moment. You may say, "I don't love God. I don't have any feelings for Him, but I think it's great to be a Christian." Look, don't just be a Christian. Be in love with Jesus. And if you don't have that love, He'll give it to you. Fill you with the Holy Spirit. Cause you to be on fire. And then all of a sudden, the things that you do are not for yourself anymore. For the kingdom of God, for heaven, and you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not thinking, "Well, here goes an I-beam up to heaven." That's not what you're doing. But the thing is this, there are rewards going up to heaven for what you're doing. Amen? Amen. And that comes when you're in love with Jesus. So have that, receive that in Jesus' name. So I must have deleted some scriptures in here, but I just want to say this. In heaven, there's a story in the Bible. It talks about where the master, he's going to go away for a long season. But so he leaves some money to his servants. He says, "Now do business till I come." Matter of fact, I'm going to be gone for like two. If you read it, he gives him pay for it lasts like 2.5 years. A minus, I think is what it is. And a minus is worth 3 months. So he gives him 10 of those. And so it's worth 2.5 years is what they're saved up money. He says, "Now make some money for me. I'll be back." Left. And then when he came back, he brought the first servant in. Servants, mind you. Believers. He says, how did it go? He says, "I took yours and I made 10 more. He goes, "Man, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. See, there's responsibilities in heaven. There's powers of authority in heaven. Positions of authority in heaven. And it determines how we live our lives. And God wants to reward you. He is a great rewarder. And He wants to reward you. Second one comes up. He says, "You gave me 5, but here's what I made. I made you more." He goes, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You're going to be master over 5 cities. And then here comes the one servant. He says, "You know what? I was afraid of you. And I thought, yeah, you take when you don't give." And in other words, his whole attitude towards God was a wrong attitude. And God says, "All right, I'm going to judge you by the attitude that you had towards me. And because of that, what you have, that one I gave you, I'm taking it away. And I'm going to give it to the man who has 10. too much as... Amen? Amen? So the thing is this. People say, why did he take it away? Because the Bible says that we can lose a reward in heaven. We can. And it all comes about with the wrong motives. And if you want the right motives, ask for the love of Jesus in your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. So there are responsibilities in heaven. There are rewards in heaven. And at the judgment seat of Christ, every believer's works will be judged. Good or bad. Hallelujah. And so we don't want to go to heaven and say, man, I'm embarrassed. We want to go to heaven and say, Lord, look what I've done for you. And the Bible says that we're going to be given many crowns. And God's going to give us those crowns. And we're going to just lay them back at his feet and say, Lord, we don't deserve this. It's all because of you. Amen. I'm here because of you, Jesus. Thank you. All right. Now let's look at the second seat real quickly. This is the great white throne of judgment. Believers do not go to this judgment. Believers are over here. This is for all unbelievers. People who reject God. Reject everything about God. His love, his mercy. And just don't believe for whatever reasons. Let's talk about that. Revelations 20, 11 through 17. It says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. In other words, it's going to be a very scary time. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, notice it's plural there, books were open. And another book, the one book, was open, which was the book of life. See, if you're a believer, your name is put in that book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it says this. And by the way, when it says books, that's our deeds. See, the books were open. Everything that you're doing, everything you're thinking, everything that you're saying and why you're doing it is being chronicled, being written down. How many of you guys would like to go up there and destroy some of that library of you? Amen. It's like, listen, here's the wonderful thing. You get to write the book. We get to write the story. That's awesome. So we should be writing it for the kingdom of God. But the books are open. So all the works that the dead, all those who are unbelievers, all the works that they've done has been written down, good and evil. But the one main book is opened up, and if their name wasn't found in it, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. They're even judged. Their works are even judged. Even though they don't believe in God, their works are judged. By the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, back here, when believers, remember I talked about the rewards, and some people got 10 cities, some got great rewards. For those who serve the Lord with all their heart, for those who love the Lord, those who are generous, those who give it their tithe, those who give it their time, those who go out and witness, should those who don't do anything except go to the church, should they be given the same reward? No, they shouldn't. Why? Because God is a just God. He's a just God. They should not be given the same reward. Guess what? So it is in hell. Because the Bible says that their works are going to be judged. Now let me prepare you for this. Just as the same thing that happened in heaven, the rewards are not the same. Same thing in hell. Their works are different. See, there's some people, they always say, well, what about those in the deep, deep, dark jungles of Africa? They've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. How is God going to judge them? Well, first of all, I want to let you know this. God reaches everybody. Romans 1:20 tells us that all creation declares his name. And the Bible says there is no excuse for anyone not knowing who God is. They may not know him as we know him because we've been given the privilege of the Bible, but yet within their heart, how they respond, what they, the little knowledge that they have of God is how God is going to judge them. And God is a fair, righteous judge. Amen? He is. And he's a loving judge. And here's the thing. So when we hear about people talking about how could God do those things, God knows what's in the heart of people. We don't. That's why he's going to be the great, great judge. So if you have someone over here who does not know anything about Jesus Christ, he just says, I can't believe. I don't believe, but yet they're a very moral person. They give, they serve, they help people, they love people. Did you know that people who don't know God can have good morals? Yeah, because the morals come from God. But yet, they don't want anything to do with God, they just don't believe him. should they be punished the same as a person over here who murders people, who rapes people and laughs about it and jokes about it, and their whole intent is just to, for themselves, and they treat people miserably? Should they be punished the same? No, we serve a just God. He knows the hearts of people and the minds of people. So, look at this in Matthew 11:21. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than it will be for you guys. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Sidon, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. So what's happening? See, these cities that Jesus went in and he preached and he showed signs and wonders. And he gave his word. And he gave the word of God. And he told them who God really is like. And he explained things to them. And yet they chased him out of town. They didn't want anything to do with him. And here's what he's saying. He says, you know what? If the works that I just did with you and the things that I just said to you, if they would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. But they didn't have those things. They didn't have those things. And because of that, because you had all these things and you rejected it, I'm going to judge you worse than I judged them. I'm going to judge you harder than I judged them. So that's what God is saying. Those who reject God knowingly and don't want anything to do with Him, they hate Him and they respond to Him and they know all the stuff about Him, but they reject Him, they are going to be judged harsher than those who don't know anything. You know, this is bad news for the church in America more than anybody else. There's lots of people in the church today who are not saved. Amen? That's true. And that's sad. And we don't want it to be that way. That may be the status quo, but we're not happy with status quo. Amen? So we don't want that. But yet, here we have it. People in church know the things of God, but yet they reject Him. They know all this stuff. They've heard the stories. They've heard the miracles. They've experienced worship. They experienced the presence of God. They experienced people's lives, but yet they just want to live their lives for themselves, and they reject God. When it comes time for judgment day at the great white throne of judgment, they're going to be judged harder than anyone else, and they're going to be punished more severe because God is a just God. So that's what we know. So we have two different judgments there. Jesus says to store up treasures for yourself. So is it possible to store up judgment? Yes, it is. And I'm going to close here real quick. Romans 2:5 says this. But in accordance, or in other words, in the same degree with your hardness and your impenitent heart. Sorry, my lips are dry, and so I'm having a terrible time talking. Anyway, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. See, we can store up treasures for good, but those can also store up treasures for wrath. In the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, this is a hard message. I love this part. This part's hard, but it needs to be heard because there's some people in churches today who don't know about this. But more than anything, if they knew that judgment, they're storing up judgment for themselves by sitting underneath the teachings of a godly man or godly woman and just ignoring it. And pushing it off, you are storing up judgment for yourself, which is higher and higher and higher all the time. Much is given, much is required, the Bible tells us. And that's what it's talking about. So what I'm saying to you is, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm already Christian. This is great news. Well, that's great. But let this motivate you in two ways. Let this motivate you, number one, all my secret works. What's my motivation in it? All my secret works, I want to go out and do more things for God. And the word of God was given today. Only if you had a heart for the lost. Oh, give me a heart for the lost. Lord, give us your heart for the lost. That's going to motivate us to go out and see people saved. That's going to motivate us to go out and see people saved. It's going to motivate us to change the way we do things. Do I have to be up on the stage to receive a pat on the back? Yeah, you can, but you're going to lose your reward. Thank you, brother. Boy, there's some gold for you for this one. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what God wants in our lives. So, with this, I want to close. You'll be rewarded according to your works if you're a believer. You'll be punished according to your works if you're not a believer. You get to choose the judgment and where you get set at. Remember what I said before? What you believe determines which seat you stand before. What you believe, whose faith, what faith you put your, who you put your faith in, determines where you stand. How you live your life today determines the rewards, how you live eternity. How you live eternity. How you live eternity. Our works do matter a lot. I'm excited for what God's going to do. I'm excited for what heaven's going to be like. I tell you what, the more we've been praying together, the more we've been thinking about our city, and the more we've been studying about heaven, I remember being young thinking, I don't want to go to heaven yet. I don't want Jesus to come back yet. I got a lot of living to do. Amen? Well, you know what? I am older now. I am much wiser now. Didn't take much. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the day Jesus comes back. But again, I want people to go to heaven. I want people to escape hell. I want people not to stand before this judgment seat. I want to see them stand before this and say, Lord, thank you so much that I heard through one of your people, through one of your believers that gave me the gospel of Jesus Christ, who were in love with God, who were on fire for God. Lord, thank you so much that I'm now here because they changed my life and your word changed my life. Thank you, Jesus. And now all the things that we do could be stored up there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know anything about New Jerusalem, you want to know anything about heaven, I encourage you to read Revelations chapter 21, verses 10, all the way through that chapter. Just read it. That gives you a glimpse of all the things that God we can expect when God comes back. That gives you a glimpse of all the things that we can expect for eternity. And again, it's beautiful. It's awesome. And it's more than just a place. It's where God is. One thing I've noticed when you read about the New Jerusalem, everything is transparent. The streets of gold, transparent. The foundation with all these 12 precious stones, all different colors, transparent. And like I said, I'm colorblind and I can't wait to see those colors. They're going to be awesome, okay? And you guys think you can see colors now? Wait till you see the colors God has in store for you. He's been working on for a long time. Everything is transparent. Why is it transparent? I believe. And I think the Lord just put this on my heart not too long ago. And that is this. If you read the scriptures, it says there's no more need for the sun because God is going to be the glory. God is going to be the light. And there's not even going to be night there. Why? Because God is there all the time. He wants to be there all the time. And His glory is going to shine through all this transparent stuff. And it's just going to radiate the colors like you've never seen before throughout the universe. And we're in the midst of that. Hallelujah. We're in the midst of all that. And we get to be in that for eternity. Because God loves us. He wants to do great things in our lives. That is something to achieve. That is something to go for. But listen, I want to pray. What you do matters. What you do matters. Your motives, why you do it, it matters. And it matters for all eternity. I don't know about you, but I would start thinking, you know what? I want to start storing up treasures in heaven. You know, people say, well, why would you do that? Isn't that kind of just selfish that you're doing that? Why else would God encourage us? He says, I'm telling you, store up treasures in heaven. Because He wants, when we get there, He doesn't want us to be ashamed. He doesn't want us to be embarrassed. He wants to reward us because He is a rewarder. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you give us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can give us a love back. It just seems so unfair that you do everything for us. God, hallelujah, you're such a good, good God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, I pray today in this building, Lord, you are here. And you're here for people. And you're here for this church body. And God says, I've given you my spirit. I've given you my word. I've prepared you to do great and mighty things, greater things than I have done when I was here. You are prepared, you are equipped, and you are ready to go. So I say to you, go. Go and do great things for my kingdom. I don't care how small it is or how big it is. I don't care how small your dream is. Dream big because I am your God and I'm a great, great big God. And I can do great things to those who are afraid, to those who are saying, I can't do anything. I can do great things through you who surrender your life to me. Let me work through you so that I can reward you in a greater way. Amen. Let me work through you. That's what God wants to do to you today. And for those today who've been set in church your whole life like I did, my whole life, you've heard the message again and again and again, and you just enjoy being around crazy Christian people. They're fun. I tell you what, more than enjoying yourself here right now, God wants to be with you forever. He wants to reward you personally. But He cannot and will not for those who have not surrendered their lives to Him. And that's why He wants you to know this. He doesn't want you to play games anymore, because Jesus Christ is coming back. And with it, He brings His reward. And also, there's judgment. So Lord, I thank You so much for the words. I thank You, Lord, for the promises. I thank You, Lord God, for what You have in store. I thank You for Your Spirit, Lord God, that's here today. Lord, I just pray that You just pour out upon this, Your people. Lord, that You, the brass heavens above them would just be ripped open, that You would pour out heaven into them, that You fill this place with Your glory. You fill every heart. More than You want to fill this beautiful church with Your presence, You want to fill the hearts and minds and lives of everyone. For we are the temple of God who believe in Jesus Christ. So thank You, Lord. Pour out Your Spirit today upon all Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.